It has been a turbulent decade here in Vancouver, to say the least.
Check me out, y'all.
Halford and Brough.
In your area.
That's right.
About to cause mass hysteria.
Sportsnet 650.
Hughes, a drop. He scores.
I've never seen a young defenseman like Quinn Hughes.
It's halftime.
Horvat with two. Horvat with three. Patrick.
Lucas. And the cover.
Hey, it's halftime.
Now Besser off the drift wall. Accepted by Patterson. He scores.
Playoff atmosphere. Look at the boys go. Crank it up. Let's go.
Good to have that one back in our life. 7:02 on a Monday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. A reminder that Halford and Brough in the Morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. Business assets to sell? If so, email them at sales@ableauctions.com. CA.
Do you think the Canucks will auction off any players today?
Ha ha!
I serve the sponsors so well.
Very good. Very, very good.
It is our poll question today on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Will the Canucks make a trade today? First option, yes. Mm-hmm. Second option, no. And that's okay.
Very Stuart Smalley of you here.
Third option is no, and that's not okay.
Un-Stuart Smalley.
700 votes. So far on Twitter, 61% of you are saying, no, they won't, and that's not okay. 31% saying, no, and that's okay. Just 8% of you voted for, yes, they will make a trade today. And I think a lot of people are voting that they won't make a trade because Jim Benning said on Friday during a press conference, we're probably not going to be too active at the deadline this year. Do we have that audio, Dom? Here's Jim Benning on whether or not the Canucks will be active participants today.
I don't expect us to be doing a whole lot at the deadline, but you know, we still have a couple days to the deadlines here. We'll take calls and, you know, talk to other GMs and see if there's something out there that makes sense, and we'll follow through with it.
The Canucks have obviously had a pretty severe COVID outbreak on their team, so that's going to make things difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Benning suggested that he was a little hesitant to trade players away from their families during this time.
Yep.
There's also the fact that there isn't much for the Canucks to sell. There really isn't. Maybe Brandon Sutter has some suitors, maybe Jordy Benn. Well, Alex Edler would have to waive. Other than that, I'm looking at the, like, who is anyone going to say, like, we need Jake Vertanen for the playoffs. We need Adam Gaudette for the playoffs.
On that subject, Jordan and Van texts in to the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. Morning, guys. Could you see Jordy Benn being traded since, one, he didn't get on the COVID list, and two, Getzlaff is potentially getting moved to Colorado or Vegas? I don't know what the...
What does Getzlaff have to do with it?
I don't know. Maybe there's a connection there that I'm unaware of. I don't know. Look, if you were to look at this roster and say, if there's anybody that could potentially go for a move, I would say it would be Jordy Benn for the following reasons. One, the COVID thing, as you pointed out. Two, he's a pending UFA. And I think it's safe to say he might not be back as a Vancouver Canuck. Is that fair to say? They might not, right? They haven't re-signed him yet. You know, he's a depth defenseman.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the keys is that if the Canucks were to retain half his salary, you could get him for a $1 million cap hit. So you could fit him in. He can play the left side and the right side. He is the perfect depth insurance pickup, as far as I'm concerned.
Also, if he feels that a short spell away from the city and his family could result in a Stanley Cup, something he's obviously chased over the tenure of his career, he's in his 30s now, he may be open to doing it. I mean, look, there are some veteran guys.
Well, I don't think it should necessarily matter if he's open to doing it. I think he has a modified no trade clause.
I don't know how he got that.
But
look, I mean, I think it could come down to, hey, do you want to go somewhere where you might have a chance to win a Stanley Cup? Right?
Why would they even ask him?
The Canucks?
Yeah.
Well, he's going to have to waive to go to certain teams, right? I mean, who knows what's on.
He can't have a very aggressive no trade clause. I'm looking at Cap Friendly right now and I can't figure it out. Player submits a 10 team. No, sorry.
Yeah.
This is very complicated.
Keep going.
Five team no trade list.
Right. Here's the thing. You got to consider the context of what Benning was talking about. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't want to put anyone in a position where it's like, we're sending you somewhere. So I think he would probably have a conversation with any player ahead of time and be like, dear.
Should he? Dear, that's my question for you. That's what I'm getting at.
Right. Let me finish this line of thought first, right? That's what he's going to do, I would imagine, based on everything that we heard on Friday. The poll question, we'll get into that in a second. Okay. What we saw with, and a trade we haven't really got into that much, Jeff Carter going to Pittsburgh. That happened last night as well. Pittsburgh gets Jeff Carter for a couple of conditional picks. Carter's kind of at the end of his rope. He's playing 16 minutes a night on the wing. He's not the guy that he was when he helped LA win the two Stanley Cups.
No, he's like 36, isn't he? Did you say?
He's older. Yeah. He's got roots in LA. He's been there for forever. Mm-hmm. He's got family. But he agreed to go to Pittsburgh to try and chase the ring.
He's got a year left, too, after this one.
So that's something to consider when you're talking about, do guys want to uproot and move? Now, back to your original point, and it plays into our poll question. Is this line of thinking that Jim Benning laid out on Friday okay? Because that's the poll question, right? Is this okay or is this not okay? And honestly, I have a hard time skewering someone for going down this road of saying, I don't want to ship a guy off given what we've gone through the last couple of weeks. I mean, this has not been a pleasant time. It hasn't. I understand that this is a business first and foremost. I understand that people are going to yell at me and say, you put personal feelings aside.
I just don't think, is it such a massive thing, though?
Let's say.
Is it to, you're traded away. I know it's been hard. The pandemic's been hard on everyone.
Let's say, hypothetically, that you've got a wife and a couple kids at home.
Okay.
And her parents or your parents can't travel up here. So it's just your nuclear family dealing with this where you can't really go anywhere and you can't really do anything. And you got a couple young kids. And then you're saying, and you're going to essentially agree to the bubble, for lack of a better phrase. You're going to go and you're not going to be around for a couple of months. Right?
Okay.
If this run goes deep into the playoffs, if you go into, you know, the conference final, the Stanley Cup final, you're gone. I think that's a tough thing to foist upon someone. That's all I'm saying.
It's kind of the business, though, isn't it?
It is
the business. For the family, there are some pretty nice perks of being a member of a family where dad makes millions of dollars to play a sport. There are some nice perks to it.
Sure.
I believe there are some families that probably deal with tougher circumstances. That's all I'm saying. That's where I'm at with it right now.
And that's why I can't go 100% onto the, this is okay kind of thing. Because this is a business.
I think if they have an opportunity to trade Jordy Benn, they should trade him. I think if they have an opportunity to trade Brandon Sutter, they should trade him.
Here's a question for you. Let's say that they go down the
Do
road.
Do you have a heart?
Why are you such a dick? The question is, let's say Benning goes.
The answer to that is because I've been following the Vancouver Canucks for my whole life.
Right. Let's say Benning goes to Jordy Benning. He's like, Jordy, we got a deal in place for you. You wouldn't have to waive your no trade. It's one of the teams, one of the five teams that you haven't listed. Do you want to do it? Let's say Jordy Benn comes back and says no. Do you make the deal anyway?
You just don't ask him.
Well, that's the part of it that's what I'm saying, right?
Don't ask him.
You could just not go down that road, right?
Well, yeah. Why would you ask him? I mean, other than give us your no trade list, the five teams.
Mm-hmm. I think the reason you would ask him.
That's going to be a little hint that we might trade you.
I think this is the can of
worms. When did you get a heart, by the way? When did you become all like, these guys, are you going to be one of these people that that retweets articles about, we have to remember the human side of the trade deadline? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, there are regular families whose, where mom or dad gets transferred or shipped out or have to go on lengthy business trips or have to go work up north or have to go, they're not home all the time and they're making like 80 grand. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, that's very old sports writer of you. You have to remember the personal side of these guys making $5 million a year. And sometimes I heard that because of COVID, their nannies aren't able to work for them anymore.
The hell with this.
Okay, Dom, that was not a good drop. That was not a good drop.
It was an awkward sort of energy.
We lost our nanny, and it's been very hard on the family.
Again, this is why I can't go 100% into the.
Can you go 100% on anything?
Well, you mean, come on, man. Like, you know that I understand where you're getting at here and where you're going, but I think you can agree that this is a little bit more nuanced than this is a terrible decision and this is, you know, the most compassionate thing on the planet. Like, I understand why he said the things that he did. I think at a certain point, trading someone right after they've gone through a lousy couple of weeks with look, this is not what you're talking about is getting shipped out under normal circumstances. And what I'm talking about is we are in a once in a lifetime moment here where this season in a lot of ways for me is a wash.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not ready to put an asterisk.
You changed workplaces during the pandemic.
Yeah, sure did.
You got traded.
Yeah, I know.
Or you were bought out and then
I don't know how to describe it. Certainly wasn't a trade.
On a bargain contract.
Yeah, right. I got terminated. Got my contract voided. It is tough. Don't get me wrong. Like, I understand that if there's, you know, you got to have your eyes on the prize and that even in a pandemic, it's still a business and you have to try and maximize return on assets. I understand that. I'm just saying in this particular instance, I don't know why. It's something that I just feel, and I'm not even sure it really equates with what's going on in my brain, but I actually feel something here. I don't feel dead inside on this one.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where I'll leave it.
All right. We got a text into the Dunbar Lumber text line, and all it says is, and the media wonders why no one likes them. I don't know if that's in support of me or you.
It's not in support of you.
Why not?
Because, I mean, I would assume that of this conversation, you're coming across as the cold, crass, calculating one. And I'm coming...
But at the same time, I brought up the media articles about this is... You have to remember the personal side of the business
Good
too,
point.
Right?
Some of our media brethren have painted that picture for everybody else. So,
yeah,
it's a tough one.
He lost his nanny. Right.
I don't think that helped your cause any.
How do you sleep at night?
On top of a pile of money with many beautiful ladies. Yeah.
Exactly.
We are all Rainier Wolfcastle at that point. We should probably circle back on a couple of these deals, do some actual news work here at the Sports Talk radio station. In case you missed it earlier, and look, this is not a Halford and Brough staple usually. We don't like rehashing and reiterating what's gone on, but we are cognizant of the fact that it is trade deadline Monday. There's a bunch of news that's already happened. There's a bunch of news that will come down. So Taylor Hall is now a member of the Boston Bruins. Taylor Hall was acquired from the Buffalo Sabres in exchange for Anders Bjork and a second-round pick. Curtis Lazar, former first-round pick, former Canadian World Junior standout, also on his way to Boston in the deal. The Toronto Maple Leafs made a lot of moves, and they might not be done. The Toronto Maple Leafs got Nick Foligno from the Columbus Blue Jackets. They also got Riley Nash from the Columbus Blue Jackets, which was a move essentially to put him on long-term injured reserve.
I don't understand all the complicated moves that the Leafs make.
So I will get into that.
I just want them to choke. I'm like a one-line thinking with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
They also got David Rittich, the backup goalie from Calgary. Jacob Markstrom's backup in Calgary. So guess who Jacob Markstrom's backup is now in Calgary? Louis Domingue. It's all Canucks there. There's talk that Josh Levo might be on the move today as well, by the way.
Very slowly.
Yes. That is
not
that
a good skater.
Yeah, that is incredibly mean, but also...
Boy,
really
that escalated quickly.
I'm kind of a jerk this morning, huh?
A little bit of a jerk.
That's yeah, it's really good to have you back, Alfred, too. Like, I think you bring out the jerk in me. With your soft takes.
Yeah, that's what I try to do. Just have the softest takes imaginable. Jeff Carter on his way from Los Angeles to Pittsburgh. David Savard on his way from Columbus to Tampa Bay. Now, the reason I wanted to mention all these is because we always go back to what the Canucks do or don't do. And we talked about the trade deadline and, you know, our poll question day. Will they make a move? Won't they make a move? And we've seen some teams get really creative and really aggressive. Like Jarmo Kekalainen in Columbus makes the move. So he acquires two first-round picks for rentals, essentially, in Savard and for Foligno. So everyone's kind of giving him a faint applause. They're like, nice work. You got a lot of picks out of the deal. Good on you. That's a very aggressive retooling there. That gave something for the Columbus fans to look forward to. They're like, okay, this season's probably done, but it's a wash. But we were asking for Canucks fans, what are you looking forward to now? Because in case you missed it, something else that happened over the weekend is that the NHL announced that the Canucks are going to be back in action beginning Friday against Edmonton. Now, the facility was supposed to open yesterday, but that got delayed by a day because there was another COVID-19 protocol addition. It was Jay Beagle, who is injured and away from the team, but I guess because maybe the situation isn't quote-unquote under control, they decided to move everything. So the idea is that the facility will open today, and then the team will return to play on Friday. So Jason brought up the question earlier. It's kind of like our second poll question, our sub-poll question, if you will. Fans, listeners, 650 heads, what are you excited for the remainder of the season? What are you watching for?
We're talking about the Canucks.
What's drawing you in for these 19 games over 31 days? Is it just the fact that like you get to watch your team again and you haven't been able to for 2 weeks?
There's nothing else to do.
Is it?
Used to watch the games with my nanny.
Right. Now you can't do that anymore because you've been traded.
Yeah.
Is it the fact that you might get to see some young guys go into the lineup? Conceivably, with this many games in this few days, the potential for injuries, the potential for guys not even being ready to go by Friday means that you could get a lot of guys that you haven't seen this year very much. Is that enticing to you? Let us know. Text to the Dunbar Lumber text line, 650-650. Do we have any?
Well, not on this particular one, but okay. I think we've had a lot of texts about our conversation about whether or not the Canucks should be making trades. Jim Benning has pointed to the fact that he doesn't expect the Canucks to be very busy this trade deadline, and he has noted the human aspect of the business right now, that he doesn't feel like shipping some people out that have already gone through this COVID outbreak. It's been hard on families. And I was being a bit facetious earlier, in case you hadn't guessed. It has been challenging for families, right? I get it. I also wonder if he's using it as a bit of an excuse to not make trades. We've seen trade deadlines and free agency periods, deadline things not go well for Jim Benning. This is a nice built-in excuse for having a slow trade deadline. And a lot of people don't like it. You got to text into the Dunbar Lumber text line right now. You cannot wash the year. No matter what's happening, other teams are making moves to improve. If you're not making moves, you're falling behind. The draft won't save them this year. That person continues, the Canucks are the NHL version of living paycheck to paycheck. They don't save, they don't invest, they just take their draft picks when they are given them and hope it's enough to get through until next year. It has to stop. They need to be making moves. Jim Benning, by the way, got probably as testy as you'll hear Jim Benning in a public setting. Mm. And he did it with the People Show on Friday after his press conference. I believe Dom ran deep.
Correct.
Said something like, Jim, I'm looking at cap friendly, and I'm paraphrasing here. I don't know how you can say that you don't expect to have cap troubles this summer, because that was another big thing that came out of Jim Benning's avail, is that he said, well, number one, don't expect to be busy, and number two, I don't think we have cap troubles. And a lot of people went, what are you talking about? You have to sign Petey and Hughes, and you have to, you know, improve the team. So I want to play this audio of Jim Benning getting a little bit testy with Randeep. Can you cue it up for us, Dom?
That's the problem that you guys have, because you don't have all the information. You don't have the same information that I have. So, you know, we got some decisions that we're going to have to make at the end of the year. But I don't see that as a problem going forward, the cap. Now, having said that, the flat cap is, you know, the cap's not going up. So we're going to have to, you know, keep on top of things. But, you know, given all the information, I look at it and I think we'll be fine for next year.
What information do we not have that Jim Benning could possibly be alluding to?
Beagle going on LTIR, maybe not returning. Maybe he'd play the last game as a Canuck.
Maybe he has plans to buy out or ship out Louis Erickson.
That was my next one.
Mm-hmm.
I would say maybe there's some resolution on Ferland, or maybe he just continues to stay
on
LTI.
Well, Ferland's going to stay on LTI. I don't think Ferland.
Who knows?
But it's got to be...
Well, I'm just throwing out
But there has to be something. When we have to monitor this, right? There has to be something that's planned right now that we don't have access to that is eventually going to free up cap space for the Vancouver Canucks.
I mean, read between the lines.
I call it like the black hole.
I mean, read between the lines. That's exactly what is going on. There's something obviously in place. That's you. We have the information you don't have is code for there's something that's going to happen that you don't know about. I mean, that's, I don't know how else to say it.
Okay.
Right. He just said it in different words, right? The organization, put it this way. If the organization doesn't have anything and they're not in good shape, there is going to be a firestorm.
Another
rain
one?
Down.
Like, how many times have we done this? How many times have we been like, I'm telling you, if this doesn't happen, people are going to go crazy. That thing happens. People go crazy. And yet we still, the next one that comes up and we say, if people, you know, if this doesn't happen, then people are going to go crazy. Again, the next one I imagine would be, or another potential one would be, what if Ian Clark walks?
Mm-hmm. What happens to Travis Green? All these questions are out there. What's the plan there? I mean, and people asked on Friday. They asked the presser of Benning, what's going to happen here? He said the same thing. We're working on it. We want to bring the coaches back.
Because I can't overstate it enough. Bringing back the team is the bare minimum. So when he says we're not going to have cap issues, does that mean just to get Petey and Hughes signed to their bridge deals? Well, Matt, if that's the case, then I believe you're not going to have cap issues. Mm-hmm. But you need a third-line center. Mm-hmm. You probably need another top-four defenseman because I don't think Alex Edler is a top-four defenseman anymore. And you've got Hughes, Myers, and Schmidt. Those are your top-four defensemen right now. So there's only three of them. You're going to need another one.
Yeah.
Unless you think Ole Ulevi is going to be that guy. Unless you think Rathbone's going to be that guy. So there are significant needs of a third line center and a top four defenseman. That's not cheap.
Right. I would be gravely concerned about the hypothetical you just threw out, which is, are we just talking about, we're not going to have cap issues in that we will fit the guys that we need to fit under the cap.
We got a text into the Dunbar Lumber text line that says, I'm glad Benning got testy with the interviewer. It's about time the negative Nellies got put in their place. Oh, I'm sorry people are being negative about the Canucks. Oh, I'm so sorry, but they've been so successful these last few years, haven't they? It's Alfred and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. When we came over to the station, Mike and I both said to each other, let's not let the text line get us upset anymore.
How's that going?
Struggle this morning.
It's all right. We'll be
Dan
okay.
Murphy is coming up. He's coming up next.
Dan Murphy next. Kevin BX at 8 o'clock. We're here with you until 9 o'clock. And we will be checking in with Adam Forsyth from News 1130 and Sportsnet 650 on the breaking news desk. If any trades should come along this morning, there's been nothing yet. There's a lot of rumors out there. So stick around. It's your home of the Vancouver Canucks and your home for all NHL trade deadline coverage. It is Halford. It is Brough. It is Sportsnet 650. Go, 7:30 on a Monday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. A reminder that Halford and Brough in the Morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. If you are closing your business and you're not sure what all your assets are worth, let Able Auctions help. They've been helping BC business owners wind down and sell their business assets in an orderly manner for over 30 years. Whether a complete manufacturing plant, a restaurant, or a mechanical shop, Able Auctions has seen it and done it all. Email sales@ableauctions.ca and get your free of charge confidential consultation scheduled today. That's sales@ableauctions.ca. Okay, there's a couple things percolating in the ether, trade deadline banter online, a couple different NHL pundits and insiders. There's been no actual trades this morning. Jimmy Hayes, former NHLer, now on the Missing Curfew podcast with Shane O'Brien and Scotty Upshaw, threw out earlier this morning that Jamie Oleksiak, the big rig from the Dallas Stars, may be on his way to the Edmonton Oilers. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one.
Has he been not playing in Dallas, or Dallas isn't completely out of it, are they?
You
haven't been following too closely? Don't worry. You don't have to know this.
I feel like I should because you asked it of me.
No, that's all right.
I think he has just been made available. I've seen his name bandied about by a few different people. And yes, I will continue to use the words bandied and about.
I nearly said raccoon. I always get in trouble for mispronouncing raccoon.
Sorry. The other one, sorry to cut off your scintillating raccoon story there. Steve Karp, who covers the Vegas Golden Knights in Vegas, he's throwing out that they are looking at Mike Hoffman from the St. Louis Blues.
Okay. The raccoon in North Van texts in, Mount Bruff has been sighted with some earthquakes and minor eruptions. The local people of Vancouver are warned that a larger eruption may be imminent. Nope.
He's mellow.
Mount Bruff will not erupt today, although been tempted a few times by Halford, by some of the texters into the Dunbar Lumber text line.
For the record, Dallas is 6 points back of the playoff bar.
Yeah.
In the Central, but they have 3 games in hand in Nashville. So I suppose they're not entirely out of it.
Okay, good.
There you go. Yeah, there's your Discover Central. I just discovered the Central standings.
Okay, good. Bunch more texts at 650, 650. It's easy to say we won't be very busy come trade deadline when you don't have any assets. Well, that's another thing, right? Again, their most tradable assets as far as rentals go, as far as playoff teams loading up or adding depth, would be Brandon Sutter and Jordy Benn.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's it? That's it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you say we're not going to be very busy, they're probably not going to be very busy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose there's something else that could be out there in the ether that we never see coming. I mean,
I love your hope this morning that there's a you got
it's
some
trade
hope,
deadline
right?
day.
You got some hope.
You know,
it's
good.
It's no,
cold.
It's good.
It's called trying to keep listeners on the station.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the one that really caught me off guard, and I remember thinking, "Oh, this is very outside the norm because we didn't see it coming," and it actually ended up being a very good trade. Was the good Branson for Pearson? Mm-hmm. Remember when that came out? That came totally out of left field. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was largely because Rutherford just at the last moment was like, I need a big strong guy to stay in front of the net. And then Benning was like, I have one for you. And so it worked, right? So there's always the possibility, and that just goes across the board,
sure.
right?
Yep.
That there's always the possibility that something like that just pops out of nowhere at the very last minute. And it comes in at like 12:12, you know, 12 minutes after the trade deadline is officially done. And the papers haven't been filed with NHL Central Registry and all that. Let's go to the phone line now. Dan Murphy joins us. A presentation of David L. Young of Dexter Realty. Murph, welcome to the program. I'm sorry I missed you on Friday. How are things going?
I'm sure you're very sorry, Mike. Things are going well. Yeah, beautiful day out there. I'm not expecting to be overly busy today, but good start to the week. Talking to you guys, what could be better?
This is obviously
so many things.
One, lots. two, this has obviously got to be a weird day for you because traditionally coverage, at the very least, you'd be down at Rogers Arena doing the stand-up in front. But you can't even get into the building now because things have been delayed. The start to the restart got delayed yesterday. In case anybody missed it, the NHL came out and punted the opening of the facility a day. So it was supposed to be on Sunday. It's supposed to be scheduled for today, but because Jay Beagle was added to the NHL's COVID-19 protocol list, the NHL thought it would be of the utmost health and safety to move everything a day. So you're just kind of twisting in the wind here, Murph.
I am, but it's going to be weird seeing, you know, which guys come back, how they stagger it, because, you know, Gaudette is the first guy off the list, and obviously a coach and Hamnick will come off, and I'll be interested. I'm sure they can skate as a group, the guys that were negative and the taxi squad guys, but I'm assuming that the other guys will kind of have to be introduced one, two, three at a time.
Right.
So there's likely not, you know, I'd be surprised if there was a full practice before Thursday. which is obviously not ideal when you haven't played in a month. Mm-hmm. And then going into back-to-backs, you know, to face McDavid and then Matthews. So, you know, it's going to be a grind. There's no question. And, you know, you talk to some people, like with the Devils and especially the Sabres, and they had problems coming back from, you know, the COVID outbreak. The physically, they didn't feel good for, you know, basically upwards of a month after coming back. So, oh man, I just hope everybody's feeling okay, and I hope that they're not a danger to themselves having to crash all these games in 1 month.
Murph, assuming that the Canucks don't go on a miracle run and take a run of the Montreal Canadiens for the fourth and final playoff spot, what's going to hold your interest down the stretch with this Canucks team?
Oh man, that's a good question. I think we always, you know, when we say play the kids, well, they might have no choice because just of the schedule and needing to incorporate some of the taxi squad guys. What will keep my attention? I mean, I'll be interested to see if Elias Pettersson does come back. That would be one thing I'd like to see. Also, you know, maybe they can reintroduce Ylevi to the lineup. Maybe we can see a couple DiPietro starts. I'm not sure that will happen. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just, you know, I want to keep my eyes on Quinn Hughes as well, to see if he can finish the season, you know, a little bit better than the way he started it. And I think overall he's been trending incrementally better, in his own end. So those are kind of a few things I'll keep an eye on as they play all these games down the final month.
It seems very unlikely to me that Podkolzin could be in the Canucks lineup. His team is still alive in the KHL playoffs. There's just over a month, as far as the calendar is concerned, left in the season. His team would have to be eliminated. He would have to fly over to North America. Then I imagine there'd be a quarantine involved, and then he'd have to get into the lineup. Are you still holding out hope that we might see Podkolzin by the end of the season, or has that ship sailed?
I think that ship has kind of sailed in my view, and maybe I'm not the best to talk about it, but wouldn't he also, you know, be a possible selection for the World Championships?
Oh, that's true too.
Right.
Yeah.
And and I think that even though that's not part of his KHL contract, I believe that he would do that if selected. So there's another, you know, kind of bit of a roadblock there. I mean, I think it'd be great to see him, by all accounts. He was excellent in their last game, kind of single-handedly staving off elimination. But I don't think Canucks fans are going to get a chance to see him this season, although I do think once the season's done, you will see Jim Benning sign him to that deal.
We're talking to Dan Murphy. It's a Sportsnet 650 Halford and Brough show. Dan, Jim Benning did some media availabilities on Friday. He did the open press conference and then came on Sportsnet 650. And he really, really seemed to hammer home the fact that he doesn't think the Canucks will have cap problems this summer. And he also hinted that the fans and the media don't have all the information to be able to say whether or not the Canucks do have cap problems. What do you think he could be hinting at there?
Well, maybe a buyout. Maybe that's back on the table from ownership. Maybe Beagle is as bad as some people are speculating, and he is not a possibility for next season. So there's two avenues that could clear up some cap space. But, you know, I think that's – I mean, we all can get on the cap friendly. We can all see – you know, how many roster spots they're going to have to fill. We all know they're going to have to pay Pettersson and Hughes. So, you know, you can say there's no cap problems, but I think we can all see that, you know, pretty much all the dollars will be allocated. You know, I don't think just because you can be a cap team doesn't mean you have to be a cap team. And I'd like to see them have a little more room, you know, to kind of then make some signings when we all believe this competitive window opens, which, you know, I think the hope is after next season, but probably two seasons from now. So he can say that, but I think we can all see that there, you know, there is at least an avenue where there are cap problems. I mean, I don't think there's any question.
What is their biggest need outside? I mean, I expect them to re-sign Hughes and Pettersson. Could it get stressful at times? Probably. Might it go right down to the deadline? Maybe. We've seen how these things go, but I think they're going to be able to keep Pettersson and Hughes. Outside of getting those contracts done, is there a position, an area of the lineup where you say that needs to improve?
Well, I would have still said a top six winger, and I have no idea what the left side of the defense is going to look like either. So there's a couple of things there. That's assuming that Nate Schmidt will play on the right side, obviously. Right. But I would say probably, yeah, like, I know they re-signed Pearson, to play alongside Bo Horvat, and Hoglander's, he's been, quality rookie on the other side. I just think there's still not enough scoring depth in their top six. I don't believe that. I think probably Tanner Pearson is better suited for a third line role when you're a good team. So I would say, score. I don't think they're going to be plugging Pod Coles in the top six. He's probably more like a third line player to start, but you never know. And also the defense, once again. I mean, remember, going into this season, nobody had any idea what the defense was going to look like until, kind of the late signing of Hamonic. So I think that's going to be another storyline to follow.
It was interesting that Jim Menning mentioned Nikita Trampkin yeah. in the interview. I don't even think he was asked about him. I think he just kind of mentioned him. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he could be thinking about Nikita Trampkin as a replacement for Alex Edler, at least in the top four. Alex Edler could always re-sign and either play top 4 minutes or bottom pair. But Jim Benning, he hasn't given up on the the big Russian, has he?
The white whale.
The white whale. But the thing is, like, you have to wonder at what price, right? Because I think prior to right now anyway, I don't think, Trampkin was coming back for anything less than a one way, and that probably a decent amount of money. Now, maybe that's changed. Maybe his desire to return the NHL is such that he'll take a palatable contract for the Vancouver Canucks to try to prove himself once again, or try to prove himself. So to me, it's very interesting to see. I mean, obviously, I don't think he'd come on a two-way, but just what would the price be on that one-way contract for him? Because I think that prior to this season and maybe the flat cap, he was probably still thinking $2.5 million to come over. And I certainly think they can't be paying that right now.
We're speaking of Sportsnet's Dan Murphy here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Murph, what, if anything, have you heard from the organization about where guys are at, either from their COVID recovery or from their injury recoveries? Because remember, Tanner Pearson was hurt, and I guess his rehab wasn't as full as it could be, given what's gone on. I have no idea where Elias Pettersson would be at. What kind of messaging have you got from the organization, if anything, or just guys that you've talked to in and around the team?
I'm not sure about the injuries, just more from the COVID recovery. Yeah. I've texted a few guys, and certainly they're all feeling, the guys I've talked to, much, much better than initially, because it knocked them on their rear ends. And just like you heard Dr. Bovin say, that no more than the general public, but a couple guys said that, in bed for a day and then, walking up the stairs, having the lungs burning and, not feeling great. So I think they're on the other side of that. But, I mean, how long does it take to go from that to, kind of getting into shape and then getting into National Hockey League game shape against teams that are pushing for, trying to win the division and gear up the playoffs? So I think it's going to be a very tough test for these guys Thursday, Friday, and moving forward because, not only were they sick, but they haven't skated for 2 weeks. They haven't done any cardio. They haven't played in a month, for God's sakes. So, I think they are feeling much better, but, there's still a long road ahead.
Is it fair for the NHL to put the Canucks in this position?
Well, you can ask that, but I think if you look, and probably not, right? And maybe the PA will have something to say about it. But if you look at the Devils and the Sabres, they both got crushed when they came back as well. I think the Sabres played right around the same amount of games in 31 days. So, it's not like this is a unique situation to Vancouver. The other two teams that had the massive outbreaks also had to deal with it. Is it fair? Probably not. But, I mean, just imagine, guys, if this team was in a playoff spot right now. Yeah, I mean, I think that at least that softens the blow a little bit. I mean, the anxiety of the fan base. I mean, if a playoff spot was on the line and coming back, trying to make it. So I think that softens it a bit, but it certainly seems like a tall ass, that's for sure.
Murph, enjoy the rest of the day. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy the rest of the week. The Canucks are scheduled to be back in action on Friday. Long time coming. We will talk again next week.
All right, boys. Have a good day.
Thanks,
Murph. You too. Thanks. That's Sportsnet's Dan Murphy here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Murph was brought to you by David L. Young of Dexter Realty. Here, there, everywhere. Dexter Young.
Okay. We'll dip into the Dunbar Lumber text line coming up next. Mm-hmm. 8 o'clock is Kevin Bieksa. We'll talk to Bieksa about the trade deadline and what he thinks will be worth watching from the Canucks down the stretch. Get your What We Learns in now, and please don't forget to include WWL so we can filter the Dunbar Lumber text line and find your What We Learns. Also, I feel this is kind of an old school thing to do, but sign your texts. There's a lot of unsigned text. We want to give credit to the people. We want to develop those relationships like we have with Lucas the Fuel Guy, who texts in and says, Tank Nation is alive and well. Okay. It's the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
And the Halford and Brough Show is brought to you by Able Auctions. Business assets to sell? If so, email them at sales@ableauctions.ca. $7.52 on a Monday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Friendly reminder that it is NHL trade deadline day. Woo! And all NHL trade deadline coverage here at Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by Andrew Sherritt Limited, your local family and employee-owned wholesale distributor. With locations across Western Canada, you can purchase heating, plumbing, and irrigation supplies online at Sherritt.com. We'll work on getting to Adam Forsyth from the Breaking News Desk in a couple minutes here. In the interim, let's go to the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650, 650. Flag some of the requests that we have. So we have two questions floating out there. One of them is our poll question as it pertains to whether or not the Canucks will do anything at today's trade deadline and whether or not that's okay. And the other one, of course, is from the news over the weekend announcing that the Canucks would be back in action. Beginning on Friday, 19 games in 31 days, six back-to-backs. That was a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a very condensed, compressed schedule. So what are you looking forward to over these remaining games? What are you watching for? Is it just the fact that your team is back? Have you talked yourself into the fact that the Canucks are only 8 points back of a playoff spot and now have a game in hand? Let us know. Keep texting in, 650, 650. Before we do that, let's go now to Adam at the Breaking News Desk. Adam, take it away.
Not a lot of breaking news going on so far this
right
morning.
On.
Pretty quiet in terms of trades, but I got some rumors for you. Blues reporter Andy Strickland reporting he's hearing that the Ducks are asking for a first-rounder and a prospect for both Rickard Rakell and Josh Manson. Pierre LeBrun says the Kings and Alex Iafallo working towards an extension. And Taylor Hall making the drive from Boston to Buffalo today. He plans to play tomorrow against the Sabres. It is about a seven-hour drive. I checked. Google Maps did not steer me wrong. That's all I got for you.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it. That's Adam Forsyth from News 1130 and Sportsnet 650 at the Breaking News Desk.
That Iafallo contract could be interesting. If
Why?
He gets less than Tanner Pearson, yikes. I will say that.
I've heard
he's a pretty good scorer for the Kings.
Yeah, I've heard more about Alex Iafallo over the last 72
hours.
He's
a good player.
Yeah. And he's in the middle of, I'm never going to call Alex Iafallo contract negotiations intense because it's Alex Iafallo, but still. So what we're looking at right now is very typical of the early morning of trade deadline day. Mm-hmm. We've done, three or four of these in the morning show now, I think?
Yeah.
And it's usually the same. The night before trade deadline day, inevitably, there's always a bunch of deals that go down.
Yeah, because GMs don't want to leave it to the last minute and potentially get screwed.
And then the morning of, there's usually this big, long, weird lull,
mm-hmm.
which is unfortunate for anyone doing live broadcasts. I feel worse for the TV
Who's
guys.
The biggest fish right now? Mike Hoffman?
Probably. Right now, you're looking at it and saying, are there some guys?
The Blues are still alive, though.
I know, but it just hasn't really worked out. And right. I don't think there's anything long-term there.
Okay.
And the Blues are not... I've heard the Blues have been looking at a lot of different guys, like... Jaden Schwartz's name was out there for a little while just because
Doug Armstrong has traded guys when his team is still in a playoff position because he feels like this team might be in a playoff position, but I don't think we're going to do anything in the playoffs. Don't forget that the Blues would have to get past, I think they're going to get Colorado in the first round if they make it.
Right.
And if they were to upset Colorado, they would probably get Vegas.
Yeah.
Their chances are pretty slim.
The name I keep seeing pop up over and over and over again, and I know a lot of people, including Elliot Friedman, have shot it down, is Ryan Getzlaff. Ryan Getzlaff from the Anaheim Ducks, just because he fits the mold of veteran, center, has a ton of playoff experience, could be open to a move. I've heard Vegas tied to him from the beginning of the season. Now, the financial hoops that both parties would have to jump through there to make that happen, I think they may need to have two money laundering teams come in. Never mind one, just to make it work. But there is that out there. We'll keep our eyes on the Twitter and our ears to the ground. We've got one final hour to come on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Kevin Bieksa is going to join us on the other side. There's no shortage of things to get into with Bieksa. I would love to ask him what his motivation would be like if he was thrown into a regular season game that meant nothing while playoff games were going on.
You should do that.
I think
don't
I
just
will.
Wish.
I can do it. I can make my dreams a reality. That's next on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.